What's up, Oos? Main Event Jey Uso here from the WWE. When it's just me between matches, it's day one-ish. And that means it's Chumba time. With hundreds of casino-style games and new titles arriving weekly, there's always something fresh to try at Chumba Casino. The daily boosts make it even more fun. And have me, about to get them, all during my downtime. Ready for a fun way to chill out and enjoy a few minutes for yourself? Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Hey, the Burt Show.
The stakes were high this weekend. It could have been disastrous. But I think when you're going into something like this, when you're planning something that's so big, you have to sort of know it's not going to be pulled off exactly the way you think it's going to happen, right?
Well, with a name like Murphy, what can go wrong is absolutely going to go wrong. And this is nothing new for us. We've been dealing with this curse for our entire life. So I knew that we had to have all of our bases covered when my brother planned to propose to his girlfriend of a year on Friday.
Percentage-wise, as far as the planning of this proposal goes, your participation versus your brother's participation in this, your percentage was what?
I don't know. Actually, proposing is probably 90% of the thing. But when it comes to planning the proposal, it's probably like 98%.
98%. He comes in at the very end like a good closer in baseball, asks the question, but you do everything leading up to that.
I was like, you take all the credit. I'm like, I just want to make sure that she's happy and she's having a good time.
And he bought the ring, right?
You know what? Honestly, that's kind of the most important part, too.
Yes, it is.
And, you know, he has to handle the whole marriage thing. So if we're just talking about the execution, you know, he's handling all of the hard stuff. I just put up some flowers. So, like, let's be real. Who really has the more difficult job here? But, yeah, I mean, my brother, he decided to propose to his girlfriend a couple of months ago. They moved in together. My mom was like, y'all need to get married. And he was like, yeah, I'm 30. We should probably do that. So they are getting married. They are getting, they decided to get engaged. And when he was in Atlanta a couple of weeks ago, I was like, so what's the deal with the proposal? Like, what's going on? And he's like, yeah, I don't really know. I'm like, I bought my plane ticket. Like, I'm coming down. Like, I need to know what we're doing. And so it was at that dinner that we just started making emails to all of these, like, picnic companies. Like, they'll do those fancy picnics on, like, beaches or in parks or stuff. And they also have, like, a side business where they'll set up your proposal, where they'll just put up, like, a little table and get you some drinks and some candles. They'll kind of do all the heavy lifting for you. So I'm like, all we got to do is throw money at the problem and we're going to handle it. So we start doing that. And then he goes, hey, can you take photos of the proposal? I'm like, I do not want to risk screwing this up. This is a big moment. I know she's going to want to post. So I'm like, here's my wedding gift to you. I will spend a stupid amount of money on a photographer and we're going to handle this. So I start planning. I'm the point of contact for this picnic person. We plan out where it's going to be. We find out the perfect park in Tampa with a beautiful view of the skyline. It's right off of the University of Tampa's campus. So it's just very pretty, very aesthetic, very manicured. And then truly what can go wrong will go wrong, because of course I'm the point of contact and my flight gets delayed. I show up to the airport and the plane is here, but they're like giving us some kind of weird BS reason why we can't get on the plane. They're like, we got to clean it and then it's got to go through security and we don't know when we're going to get on the plane. So I'm texting my mom. I'm like, well, shoot, I don't know who's going to direct, who's going to produce, who is going to be there with the people if I'm not there. And thankfully we eventually get on the plane. We were only delayed about a half an hour. But then of course I get to Tampa, and because it's Florida in June,
yep,
it was raining all afternoon. Mm. And I, of course, being well prepared, knew this was going to be a problem, because all week I'm looking at the forecast and literally from Sunday through Friday, I'm texting my family, I'm texting the group chat. Hey, I don't know if you've seen the forecast, but literally the only time it's supposed to rain is between the hours of 5 and 8 p.m., which is conveniently when we're supposed to propose. Let's think of a backup plan. Do we have a house we can go to? Can we do it at your golf club? Where can we go? And literally the whole week, my family's like, it's Florida, it'll be fine. We won't know until the last minute whether it's going to rain. I'm like, nuh-uh, we're the Murphys. What can go wrong will go wrong. We need a backup plan. So I'm working with the proposal people, and they're like, it's going to be fine. I'm like, it's going to be fine! If it rains, we have no backup plan! So, of course, because it's raining in the afternoon, I finally text the proposal people. I'm like, hey.
Told you.
Have you, first of all, told you. Second of all, what are we going to do? And then they suggested a great backup plan right behind the park that we were going to propose at. We where my brother was going to propose is this beautiful museum.
I love that all three of you are getting married.
All three of us are. I'm more more invested than anybody in this. It's this beautiful building. It is probably the most beautiful building in Tampa. It kind of looks like something you would see in St. Petersburg, Russia. Like, it's this very interesting building. It's like half museum. It's the plant museum in Tampa, but it's also like one of the main buildings, the University of Tampa. It's gorgeous, tree lined. It's stunning. So I'm like, this
golden
is
dome type thing.
Kind of. There's like, what are those things called? It's like a turret. It's like a, you know, and it just looks, it doesn't look like it belongs in Tampa. Mm. It looks like you are in some old world European country. So this is great. Cause I'm like, we're in Tampa.
Yeah.
We're in Trampa.
Yeah.
So.
I know. Like that made your heart happy just because you're like, as long as we don't feel like we're in Tampa.
I'm like, literally get us out of Florida anywhere. So it ends up being this beautiful setup. Honestly, probably prettier than the original plan because no one was out because it's raining. So we weren't like fighting with other people trying to take photos. So we end up setting up the kind of like, I joke and I call it a shrine because that's how all these proposal things go. Like you set up photos and you set up candles and stuff. So we've set up the shrine at the top of these steps at Henry Plant Hall and it looks perfect. It's a little wet on the ground. So I'm texting my brother that like you might want to crouch if you don't want your pants wet. And the nerves are starting to kick in because my brother is blowing up the group chat because he's like, I need you to send videos. Can you send the exact pin? And I can just feel his nerves on the other side that he's really starting to panic because this is also a big moment for him too. Cause like at the end of the day, like I can set up the flowers, but you got to say the right things. You got to set the tone and we've got to keep it a surprise as well. And so he's at a bar across the street with his now fiance and another couple communicating with me about how he can get here and make it a surprise. So I'm looking at his location. I'm talking with the photographer. She's in the bushes. I'm crouched in the water behind Henry Plant Museum, behind this pillar. Like we look like we are about to attack somebody guerrilla warfare style. So finally I see on Find My Friends, my brother leaves the bar and he pulls up and he's like, do not be seen. Do not ruin the surprise. So I'm like digging holes, trying to get in the ground. I'm like, how can I be even more unseen? And finally, his car pulls up and they get dropped off right in front of me. And I'm like, oh my God, I'm going to ruin this. He's never going to forgive me. He's going to be so upset. I've done all this work and now I'm going to ruin the surprise. And thankfully, somehow my brother had paid attention to the videos I had seen or I had sent him, trying to make sure that he knew where to go. And he has the umbrella because, of course, it's raining. He's got his fiance. She looks beautiful. And I'm DJing. I got the Bluetooth speaker. So before they get there, I have a little mood music happening. So the car's pulling up. I'm crouched. I've got water in my underwear because I'm literally digging holes at Henry Plant Hall.
You're like a drown rat DJ.
I'm literally a drown rat DJ. And so then as they start walking, I shift the Spotify playlist to a song from the first season of Bridgerton, which to me is the most romantic season of TV show of all time. And it's a song called Come With Me by Chris Bowers. So now we're setting a more ominous tone. Like, what's happening? Why are these candles here? Why is there a sign that says, will you marry me? And the tension is building. They're walking the steps. She finally knows I'm getting proposed to. Ben's relieved because everything is here. I've set everything up well. And now he's got to get on one knee and ask her the question. So then I shift it to another song from the first season of Bridgerton where there's a big love confession. And it's another instrumental called Love is a Choice. Now he's proposing. He loves her. He wants to spend the rest of his life with her. She's flabbergasted. She's so excited. She can't believe this is happening. This moment that she's thought of her entire life. She says, yes! And they get engaged. And so he puts the ring on and they kiss and it's great. And then before the proposal happened, I asked him, I was like, do you guys have a song? Like a song that you're going to dance to at your wedding, a song that you love? And conveniently, he brought up a song that I love. It's by a guy named Max McKnone called Better Me For You. So once she says yes and they're kissing and they're looking at the ring, she's so happy. I play their song.
I didn't know you'd have brown eyes like to pay to Jesus.
Look at you, Abby Murphy. They're feeling the moment. I'm sure they're blacked out. I don't even think they know like what's happening because they're just so overjoyed and they can't believe it's happening.
When the video happens, they'll get it. They'll be able to take it all in.
Exactly. And so then, of course, everyone's there and we all embrace and we're having this moment. She's so happy and they're taking photos with the photographer that I paid for because otherwise it would have been me with the iPhone. And there's this really cool moment at the end. We're all like, you know, just talking about our experiences and we can't wait for the future. And I got some videos of like her family that couldn't be there. So she's she's watching family of her videos of her family that couldn't be there. And it's just a really sweet moment. And then I had one final surprise at the very end that I could not believe that I pulled off, because when my brother told me that he loved that song by this guy, Max McKnown, I was like, oh my God, I love him. I follow him on Instagram. I was like, I wonder if I like slide into his DMs, answer and maybe send a video. So you guys, I kid you not, 2 weeks ago, it's like a Friday night. I'm literally in my bed like a freaking hermit planning my brother's proposal. And I message Max McKnown. I'm like, hey, Max McKnown, la, 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 my brother loves this song, blah, 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 blah. He's going to propose this song, blah, 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 blah. Would you send a video? 5 minutes later.
Come on.
He responds.
What's the name of this dude?
Max McKnown.
Much credit.
Amanda knows him.
Oh, yeah?
I'll tell you later about the connection. But anyway, so he responds literally instantly. He's like, I would love to. What's their name? And so I say, Ben and Kylie, blah, 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 blah. Send that off into the ether. A minute later, he sends this.
Ben and Kylie, or the Murphys. I am backstage at the Ascend Amphitheater in Nashville, about to play a set with Jake Owen. But I heard that Better Me For You is a very special song to y'all. And so I wanted to leave you this message and just say thank you so much for listening. And congratulations on getting married. That is such a giant leap in life. And I am very proud to hear that. So shout out to you guys. And thank you for being fans.
Amazing.
Isn't that crazy? That's incredible. The noise you hear in the back, he's literally backstage. He's got his headset in and he's like, yeah, I'm literally about to like walk on stage, but like just wanted to let y'all know.
Yeah.
Congratulations. So really cool dude. Of course, when I brought up, I was like, yeah, that's the song I played when you said yes. And she goes, I didn't hear it. And I was like, wow, dance to it at your wedding. So it makes sense. So
A plus all the way.
Nice.
Wow.
Well done.
Well done.
She done did it.
Hey, The Bird Show.
Probably seen this.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Online, but your thought, I would never, ever, ever do something like running with the bulls. But there, the opportunity was in front of Mo in Ecuador over the last couple of days to do just that. Getting a little bit of machismo pressure also, right?
It was quite a bit of pressure.
So what happened?
So, all right, yeah, we go to Ecuador, like you said, to celebrate the life of my girlfriend's dad. And I had no idea what to expect or what this was going to be like, but I did know going into it that that was ultimately the end of the celebration. It's a mass. You have a pastor come out, speak to his life and speak to the Bible, and the whole family is there. So first off, I didn't know what to expect as far as how many people were going to be there. But I knew that this moment was going to end up happening, because when I first got there, that first night when all of the family kind of came over and everybody was in town, that was the talk of the town, that I was coming. And I mean, so I guess because I'm the newest person in the family, it's like the entire time they're treating me like an absolute king. Like everything is about me. They want to make sure I'm welcome. They want to make sure I'm comfortable. But all of the men, like one by one, are reminding me that at the end of this, you with the bulls, right? And I'm like, yeah, I'm gonna do it. Yeah, I'm gonna do it. And like anything else in life, when you are nervous about it, the closer we get, the more I'm starting to say to myself, what have I gotten myself into? And how can I get myself out of it? So the moment comes, and at the mass, first of all, it's like it's probably somewhere between 150 to 200 people there.
Oh, wow.
So I didn't expect there to be that many people. It was a lot of people. It's like all of his family, all of his friends, everyone he's ever played soccer with, like anyone who he's impacted in life is there to celebrate his life on the fifth year of his passing.
Okay, you said, never mind. I was asking if this was a special occasion when I don't know if I missed that or not.
Yeah.
Now it makes sense.
This is the fifth year. So it's like it's packed. They rent out this entire venue, and it's like the front of it is chairs, and it's lined up, and that's where the pastor was, and that's where the music was. After that part, you go inside where there are more chairs, and they're like dinner tables set up. They're bringing out food and all of the drinks in the world that you can possibly imagine. And it starts at 2 and it goes until 10.
So you're drinking before you get out there with the bulls?
Correct.
Like such a bad idea.
That would seem to me to be the only way to do it.
I definitely wasn't doing it sober.
I mean, there's a fine line. You don't want to be drunk.
Yeah, right.
But
right.
You want to have just a little enough confidence in you to go, yeah, I got this.
You need some courage. Yeah. You need some help. So now remember, there's like 200 people here, right? So the way that is set up, you got the dinner tables and then everything is glass. And then right outside of the glass, there's the bull ring. And as soon as I saw the ring, I was like, okay, wow, this is really happening. Like, this is really a thing. So I was pretty uneducated on how bullfighting works and what really happens. But they gave us a bit of an education on it first because I realized how controversial it can be. Mm-hmm. But in this case, they don't hurt any of the bulls.
Oh,
it's
really?
Not, no, it's not like in Spain when they hurt the bulls after the fight. It's nothing like that at all.
And those bulls, like in Spain, they don't even have a chance, man. Like, they pin their shoulders back so their heads can't come up. So it's really not a fair fight.
It's horrible.
Yeah.
And I was unaware, but I felt a little better after finding out that in this case, they don't hurt them. They're like, it's not a part of that tradition at all. I think it's become actually illegal to do it in Quito where I was. So this is more like it's an exhibition. They take care of the bulls and you just get an opportunity to really see what it's like to be in there with a bull. Wow. Now, at the point where I realized that it wasn't exactly what I thought it was. So right before it all happens, everybody is like, okay, it's time. Like, the music is going down, and everybody is now going outside. So
how's your gout at this point, by the way?
I'm okay.
Yeah.
I'm not flaring up or anything. We were doing a lot of walking.
Yeah.
The whole trip, which that was kind of scaring me because I start to get sore mm-hmm. after a while. But once I found out that we weren't going to be running, I was a little more confident.
Okay. Were you thinking about it the entire time you were down there before the actual event, like when you're walking around, when you're at the parties and you're hanging out? Is it somewhere in the back of your head, dang, I'm going to have to either run or dodge a bull this weekend?
It was in the back of my head for sure.
Yeah.
And at some point, I thought, like, maybe I could use the gout as an excuse. That was never going to happen. They were not allowing that to happen.
And again, I want to stress this for those of you that haven't gone to Central American or South American countries. There is a machismo, man. There is a masculino type 1,000%. Of attitude about it, man. And you can't get away from it.
No, you can feel it. Like, yeah. You can feel that this moment was going to define my legacy in this family for the rest of my life. Like, it was very obvious.
You no can't pressure.
Punk out. You can't
right.
punk out.
I can't, right? So it was actually my lady who started to get really nervous. Even though she wasn't doing it, I was going to be doing it. She started to get nervous for me. So her entire family is now in the center of the bull ring announcing that everything is about to get started. And then they have, like, the picture of her dad, and it's this entire thing, and it's beautiful, right? Mm-hmm. So all of the people are now lining up to go outside, because outside of the bull ring are benches all around. So it's you in like a mini arena, it feels like, and everybody is cheering it on. So at some point I looked at my lady like, why are we supposed to be out there? And she's like, yeah, I think so. So I'm like, what are we doing? She's like, let's just sit here and see what happens.
That's a good idea.
Right.
Tailgate first.
Right. So I'm like, okay, cool. So we'll watch it from up here in the glass. And nope, her sister was like, where are y'all? Where's Maudy? Where? Go get him. And so they find us, and then they're pointing at us and telling us to come. So I'm like, okay, this is it. We got to go. So I grab my drink, take like my last shot,
yep.
Go downstairs. And now we're in the ring, right? And once they announce that it's about to start, now we all go into these like corners. There's like 4 different corners where you can kind of go behind just in case. Most of the people are outside the ring. We're in the ring. And they bring up the truck where the bulls are coming out. And they say, you know, they're not full adult bulls because, again, they don't hurt them. So mm-hmm. it's not that kind of party. But then you see the bull.
Mm-hmm.
Baby bull ain't no small bull. Well, I don't know. There's nothing baby about this bull, right? So then I realized, I'm like, hold up. So I thought we all were going to be out there at the same time. And then everybody's running for their life once the bull gets loose. And they was like, no.
Oh, God.
You're going to be like a real matador. We're going to actually give you the cape, and you're going to do the cape work. And it's just you one-on-one with the bull. So I said, that was not the plan.
Dude, Tommy, this is like that movie Running Man. Remember that back in the day? Or somebody's got to die for somebody's entertainment.
Right. So speaking of running, so I'm watching, you know, them do like the professionals do it and kind of show you how it's done.
So you are getting a tutorial of some sort.
Some sort. Not really. Like, they just kind of do it, and then they give you a cape, and it's your turn.
And then how many drinks have you had?
At the time that I walked down there, I was at about 2.
Okay.
And then once I realized I was going to have to go out there, they was passing around. I was about at 4.
Yeah.
I got two more in me.
Here's something I noticed in other countries also, which is very different than the United States, and I got to ask you this question, is when you do any kind of activity that has a fair amount of chance that you're going to get hurt in the United States of America, if you skydive, you have to sign a Bible worth of papers before you get on that plane. If you zip line in America, you are signing 15 papers that essentially says, if you die, your family cannot sue us. However, in other countries, I've done things waiting for the forms. There are no forms.
Absolutely not.
So in this,
nothing.
Not one form.
I did not sign a thing.
If you die, you die.
That's it. That's it. Tell my story for me. That's all you got. So at some point, one of her uncles goes out there. And I can just see him like he's eyeing me, right? There's probably 10 of us that are brave enough to actually be in the ring. Everybody else is outside of it. And he looks at me, and then it was like it was planned. The entire place starts screaming, Molly,
oh, no.
Molly. No. I'm like, you gotta be kidding me, man. Nah, I was trying to be low. I'm trying to hide. I'm the tallest dude there by far. I can't hide, right? So I'm like, all right, this is my moment. And then as I'm trying to gather the courage, I feel someone just push me. Right. And it's another one of her uncles. He just pushes me out there. He's like, let's go, man. We don't have all that. So I'm like, I'm now there. And so the bull is probably at this point maybe 10 feet from me. And the guy literally just gives me a cape and he's like, go. And everybody's yelling my name. So I'm like, I have to do this. So they're like, get closer, go to the middle. I'm like, get closer.
What?
So I got the cape. The bull, I'm telling y'all, my heart has only been outside of my body probably twice in my life. And the first was skydiving. The second was this. I've never been, I really don't feel fear. I was scared. Like this.
Finally,
I ain't gonna lie. I was like, oh, that's what this feels like. I am terrified, right? So I'm getting closer. They keep yelling at me, but they're yelling at me in Spanish. So my lady is trying to tell them he doesn't speak Spanish, but they can't hear him.
Mo, they're telling you you're about to die.
Marco, Marco.
So they're like, get closer, get closer. So I'm getting closer, and at this point, I'm so nervous that I just start dancing. I don't know why.
What? Shut up.
I promise you I did.
You did not.
I started dancing, so I'm out there dancing with the cape, and the crowd is going crazy. They are eating it up. I can hear them laughing.
Please tell me there's video of this.
Oh, I got it. I got it all. I got it all. So I'm like, I'm shaking it,
yeah,
and I'm dancing, and I promise y'all I'm not exaggerating. The bull looks you in your eye, mm-hmm, and it's like this moment where he almost says to you, are you sure? Like, this is what you want?
You want a piece of this?
And I'm like, yeah, bring it. Bring it.
Wait, is that why you were dancing? So people can see how bad you were shaking?
Yes. It looks much better when you get when you're moving and grooving. Right? So we lock in, and I see the moment it's about to happen, and it's he does it's the front foot.
No.
That front foot, he does it.
Like
in the movies. He puts it in the dirt, and I'm like, this is the moment.
Dang.
And then before you know it, he's off. And he gets to you so fast.
Yeah.
So it was like, at that point, I kind of just blacked out. And it just became like survival mode. Like, just do whatever you got to do to survive. And I juked to the right the first time. Bull went right past me. And everybody was cheering. And I was like, okay. And then before I could, like, celebrate still being alive, he was on me again. I was like, oh, he's still coming. He charges me twice. So I get out the way again, like just missed him. And then now he's kind of, I can see him now, he's angry.
Mm.
Like now, he's angry.
He feels taunted.
Right.
He's looking at you like, oh, now you done it.
Now you did it.
All right, dance again.
Right.
Try dancing again.
So I'm done at this point.
Yeah.
Like I feel like, I'm all good, right? But I'm still in the middle and I still have the cape. Yeah. So I don't really know what to do because again, there's no instructions and they're talking to me in Spanish. I have no idea what I'm doing. I can just hear my lady go, oh my God, just stop. Just stop. That's all I can hear. And then one last time, I get to the middle, like, and I'm now he's like aggravated, so I gotta really shake it.
Mm-hmm.
And he takes off and puts everything into it. And when he charged me the third time, he didn't just run straight through like he did the first two times. He actually like went with me. So when he went left and I went right, he switched up and went right. So I had to like on my inside, I had to jump back and then shift again. And then he went around me, and I'm talking, it was like I could feel the bull just brushing past my body. And at that point, he hit the wall. And I went over there. I took a bow, gave him the cape, and was like, I'm done.
And you earned the respect of everybody in the family,
they ate it up, man. They ate it up. They loved it. It was amazing. It was scary, but it was amazing.
You did it.
When are you posting that video? Because I am the first person to watch it.
I'm going to post it today.
Okay.
I'm
beautiful. Yes, congratulations, sir.
Thank you. Thank you.
Hey, The Burt Show.
Hey, it's Bubba Wallace from 2311 Racing. You know what feels like forever? Sitting on a plane waiting for takeoff. Good thing I've got Chumba Casino. With daily boost and social casino games on tap, this is the kind of fun that makes time fly. Why not turbocharge your downtime? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
So I got a tremendous honor coming up over the course of the next couple of weeks that I wanted to share with you guys. So the Friends of Georgia Radio have inducted me into their Hall of Fame.
What? Dude, this has been a big year for you.
This has been a big year, right?
Between the billboard at the airport.
Uh-huh. That's the only one you need to say.
Well, and hammering the spike at the Atlanta United game.
That was dang cool also.
And now you got this.
Yeah. So the Friends of Georgia Radio, because I wasn't really familiar with the organization. All I heard him say was Hall of Fame, and I said yes. We raise funds for and award yearly scholarships for students at Georgia colleges and universities and provide mentoring for those students from professionals and legends. Okay.
Hey.
In the radio industry, we're multifaceted multimedia specialists committed to helping up and coming broadcasting students fund their education and recognizing those giants upon whose shoulders we stand. So they asked me to be in the Hall of Fame.
That's awesome, man. Congratulations.
Here's the cooler part of the whole thing for me is that it's great to be in it. And I used to say, like, you know what, in radio, I don't care about any awards. The only award I care about is the ratings award. As I'm on the back end of my career, I'm just starting to change my tune on that because this is really pretty cool. So they told me that, look, you go up, and it's in Sandy Springs, like at the end of August. You go up and you give like a 4-minute speech, which will be easy. And they said, and if you want, you can ask somebody to introduce you. We give them 2 minutes to introduce you. And I thought, that would be really cool. Who should I ask? Who should I ask? Who should I ask? And I thought, look, the perfect person would be Blake. Because he came to us as an intern, right? Then he was a producer. And now the dude has left our show and he's bouncing all over the country as an anchor in different news places. So I call him up and I'm like, dude, you got 2 minutes on August 23rd to induct me, you know, like do the introduction for the induction into the Hall of Fame. And dude almost started crying on the phone.
Oh,
wow.
Yeah. So it's going down on August 23rd, and Blake's going to be the one that's going to be introducing me.
I love that so much.
Congrats, man.
It's
going to
be really, really cool.
Yeah, for
really
sure.
Cool. All right. Did you guys see this weekend, Mo? I'm sure you saw it. Did you guys see that the basketball player that found out that he got traded while he was on stage at a convention?
No.
Yeah, I saw it.
All right, so this dude's name's Kevin Durant. He's a future Hall of Famer.
Superstar.
He's on the back end of his career, but he can be very helpful, like super helpful to a team that's sort of on the cusp of a championship. So Kevin Durant is on stage. I think it was some kind of fan fest.
I think, yeah, it was doing like some kind of conference where he was supposed to be there to like sign things and just speak about life to some of his fans and some of his supporters.
And he's on stage and they're asking him questions and stuff like that. And then the woman that starts to ask questions goes, wait, what? What? And there are hundreds, if not thousands, of people watching Kevin Durant while he's on stage. She's like, what? What? Starts hitting like her IFB in her ear and stuff. I'm here to tell you guys that Kevin Durant has just been traded.
It was breaking news right
breaking
at that moment
news.
While he was on the stage.
He didn't even know about it. So he finds out in front of thousands of people that he's leaving Phoenix and he's going to Houston.
That doesn't.
Oh, God.
I feel bad for him that he had to find out that way.
I do think, though, he as surprised as he might have been to find out in that moment, it wasn't as if he had no idea that a trade was coming.
Right.
Like, he didn't know a trade was coming.
Something
was
in the works.
He just didn't know when.
Yes.
Right, right.
But you would think that before he went on the stage, I'd go, dude, I just want to let you know it's real close.
Like, get at least a text or something. But nope, they didn't reach out at all.
So
he did look relieved.
He did look relieved.
He looked very relieved.
He didn't want to be playing for Phoenix.
Yeah, he's looked happy.
Well, what's the story with Phoenix versus Houston? Like, would you rather play for Houston? Is that, like, a better team?
They're close.
It's not too much better, but it's pretty close. And I think Houston wanted to go with the Kevin Durant because they're a little more comfortable with him, but they gave up some young superstars that people are not really happy about in Houston either.
Houston feels like what I meant by close. They were close to like getting to a championship, and they thought he would be the one piece maybe that would get us over the top.
Oh.
So he finds out on stage. So I do a quick Google search, just wondering, like, what is the worst and most inappropriate way that you found out that you just got fired? Right?
Okay.
My best friend at the time came into work one morning and saw a post-it on his monitor. It said something along the lines of, please remove your things. Your final check will be mailed to you. Thanks.
Via post-it?
Post-it?
On his monitor.
It's like the Sex and the City episode when Carrie got broken up with a post-it.
That's right. That's right. I can't do this is what it was, right?
Please don't hate me.
My best friend, here's another one. I found out I lost my job on TV. We all found out the same way. Hundreds of us. We turned on the morning news one morning to see that the entire company folded overnight. Nobody had any idea about it at all.
Damn.
Oh my gosh.
Every month, our company held an ice cream party in our conference room, something we all look forward to every single month. So when they called the 5 o'clock meeting on Friday for the ice cream party, we're all like, woo, ice cream day. They get everybody in there to eat ice cream, and that's when they break it to them, hey, company's shutting down.
Just get them ice cream. They'll be fine.
I scream for a new job.
That's it. And this one here was my favorite. So a guy is driving his employer's van. I guess it's one that has the logos on the side. I'm just going to make something up. It's a plumbing business, right? So he's driving the van around, and some dude cuts him off. And they start to have one of these road rage incidents where the guy he cuts off starts honking at him. And then he gets in front of the guy in the van and slams on the brake. And then the guy, the employee in the van, gets in front of him, slams on the brake. They are flipping each other off. No, the driver is flipping the guy off. And as he's pulling into work, he's starting to get nervous now that this guy that's road raging is following him into work. So he gets into the work parking lot and he gets out of the van to confront the guy who obviously is really, really upset. And it turns out to be the owner of the company.
He was trying to fire him.
No, he wasn't trying to fire him. He just happened to accidentally cut this dude off that was the owner and started getting into this road rage thing with the owner of the company. He gets into the parking lot and That's it.
Dear God.
Now,
of all the people.
On the same thread, I thought this was really funny, but it wasn't what they were looking for. A woman I worked with spread the story of a ghost who roamed the second floor of our building. The place used to be a tobacco shop, and she'd say you could still smell the cigarettes at certain times of the day when the ghost was around. Turns out she was just sneaking off for a cigarette every 15 minutes and smoking inside the building. It took him over 10 years for her to get caught.
10 years? And that was her cover, a ghost?
That was her cover because it was a tobacco place.
Work for 10 years.
I swear, if you stay here long enough, you'll be able to smell it.
It was the ghost of employment's past.
All right, Abby, a message for the girls in Atlanta.
Yes, I'm trying to help out my ladies because I understand while it's hot girl summer, cuffing season is just around the corner. So if you want to get a head start so you're not by yourself again this winter, I have found a new spot where all of the men are, and it is not a bar. So if you don't like to go out, if you're not a drinker, if you're not a partier, this is the perfect thing for you. And I've just now discovered this new thing called coffee shops.
Come on.
Okay, no. Huh? I have been to coffee shops throughout Atlanta. Mm-hmm. Consistently. I'm a coffee drinker. I'm a tea drinker. I have been to probably every major Instagram spot since moving here. I've been here 2.5 years, and I feel like just recently the men have discovered that coffee shops are the places to hit on women. And let me tell you why. So last weekend, I told y'all I was on the Beltline. I was at that new coffee shop at the Fourth Hotel, Bar Premio. And I showed up 30 minutes before because I wanted to make sure that I was there so all of the girls knew where to find me. I could take pictures, get a little coffee, get a pastry, have myself a moment.
You're so responsible. I love it.
When I tell you, I saw probably
three to four guys walk in by themselves with dogs and chat up ladies around the coffee shop. I'm telling you, it was like a flirt fest. I have never seen so many men approach women in the wild. And so I was like, okay, maybe this is just like an, it's a Saturday. There's a run club outside. You know, it's kind of like the horniest place in Atlanta right now is those run clubs.
Yeah.
But then I went to the Chastain a couple days later. Same thing. Two guys, both alone, both with dogs. So there's a theme here. They must be, if they're looking for dog moms, or looking to share the burden of taking care of a fur child. Two guys chatting up ladies at the Chastain on the following Sunday. And so I think if you want to get a boyfriend, ditch the bar, go get a dog, and go hang out at a local coffee shop.
But like not a Starbucks, because that's...
No,
you got to be something more.
Go somewhere local. Go to the Chastain, go to Bar Premio, go to Perk, any of those places, Brash. Any of those places, you are going to find yourself a man, and I'm going to be proof because I'm next. Because all I'm doing is hanging out at coffee shops this weekend.
Okay, so that's where you're hunting now.
Uh-huh.
All right, ladies. Coffee shops around Atlanta where the dudes are hanging out.
Exactly.
Hey, The Bird Show.
All right, I'm here to help you kick off your Monday a little bit better, a little bit lighter. I don't know what it is about Mondays during the summer, but I find it harder to find motivation to get through the week. And it's going to be a hot one this week, y'all. It's going to be like a high at 98 here
this week. It's a summer thing for you? Mondays for me generally just tough to get up, man.
In the summer, it's worse. Season. Yeah, in the summer, it's worse for whatever reason. I feel like in the winter, everything's kind of bleh. But like in the summer, like those weekends, like you're living like life to the fullest on the weekends. And then Monday gets here and it just hits harder.
Yeah, and I guess in the wintertime, I mean, it's so crappy outside that you can give yourself excuse to stay in and not go out, but when it's sunny, there's the pressure. I gotta be outside. I gotta be living life.
All right, so a little bit of motivational Monday for you, courtesy of Frank James on YouTube. Enjoy.
Are you giving 110%? Because if you're not giving 110%, you might as well give up. You miss 110% of the shots that you don't give 110%. 109% is not enough. Can I get an amen? 84% ago, our forefathers gave 110%. 110% of the people who give 110% succeed 110% of the time. But if you only give 100%, you'll only succeed 100% of the time. Unless you are willing to shed sweat, blood, tears, and maybe even poop your pants, you are not giving 110%. There are gonna be people who try to bring you down, who don't work hard. But it would be better to live and die alone than to give less than 110%. You don't wanna wake up one day and say, I could have been somebody. I could have been a contender. If only I'd given 110%. And the Lord said, blessed are those who give 110%, for their hustle will be rewarded 110% fold. Remember, there is only one you. Unless you have an identical twin, then there are two of you. And if each of you do 55%, it will be like one of you did 110%.
Stupid.
No one is gonna hand you your dreams through a drive-thru window. You must flip the burgers of your dreams yourself and give 110%. At my funeral, I want the preacher to say, he was a good man, and he gave 110%.
This is so great because I watch so many of those that have that annoying music in the background trying to motivate you.
So, yeah, that was Frank James doing every motivational video ever.
It really is.
So here is your, here's your PSA to give 110
today. Hey, The Bird Show.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.